back to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin. I'm here with co-hosts and childbirth professionals, Atuza Benji and Nicole Sessions, and part two of our discussion about breeches, twins, and automobiles with Marisa Callahan. So, Marisa, you had two kids pretty close together.
17 months apart.
Which is pretty close together.
Yeah.
And did you guys have a plan on how many you wanted to have altogether?
My husband jokes that I originally wanted three, but then went to four so that we could settle for three.
Settle for three.
Yeah, because he really wanted two. So.
Oh, he wanted two and you wanted three?
No, I wanted, I really wanted three. He did not want three. So then I talked about having four.
Oh, you said you wanted four.
Yeah, so then we could.
So that you can compromise
in the middle and have three.
Yeah.
Which is what I wanted.
The art of negotiation. Ask for more than you want.
Yeah, so.
So you wanted four and he wanted two. And so even having a third pregnancy for him was, how'd you convince him?
Just
sparkling wine.
Was it sparkling yes. wine? A can of sparkling wine?
Maybe. Presto.
Presto. And presto. Presto.com.
Yeah, I think after just long conversations, I finally convinced him. And so we decided to just go for it. And we kind of were like, okay, let's try for a couple of months. If it doesn't happen, then let's close the doors.
Oh, okay.
But we were three for three, which we're very grateful about. We get pregnant very easily. Which is nice.
And how long after your second was born were you pregnant again?
She was 2.5.
Okay, so you have a bigger space.
Bigger space, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you know you were pregnant from a pregnancy test?
Yeah, so I took a pregnancy test. I know I'm pregnant, like, the second I'm pregnant. I don't even really need to take pregnancy tests.
My body changes?
Yeah, just all of a sudden.
What do you feel?
The first one and the second one, not with the third one, but the first and second, I started drooling.
Oh.
In the middle of the night. So weird.
Is that a known pregnancy symptom?
I have not heard of that one.
I haven't heard of it.
I've googled it and I've never found it.
I never found it either. I never heard of it.
But both of them, I would like drool.
Mm-hmm. So if Ezra ever like wakes up in the middle of the night and you're drooling, he's like, oh, crap.
Here we go again.
Oh, no.
There's just more dryness, so the body creates more saliva to make up for it.
That makes sense.
I've heard of mouth dryness in pregnancy, so your body's just probably overcompensated.
It's effective.
Yeah.
It works.
The third one, I didn't have any of the drooling, or maybe I did, just didn't notice it in the middle of the night. But I, like, all of a sudden started feeling, like, nauseous and just, like, not myself. And I was like, oh, gosh, I think I'm pregnant again. Wow, it happened again the first time.
Right away.
Right away, yeah. Yeah.
So how soon after that do you go in to verify with your doctor?
So with this pregnancy, so around week 5, which was, like, it was about 7 days after I took the pregnancy test, or maybe 8 days after I took the pregnancy test, I started feeling cramping. And in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm probably going to miscarry. Like, I just had this feeling from the beginning that this pregnancy, like, I was going to miscarry. I don't know why. I just had this, like, overwhelming feeling.
Just felt different than the other two?
Yeah. And I think maybe I also.
No drool, lots of cramping.
I also was like, how could we get pregnant three for three? Like, that's crazy. How could this happen? Like, I feel like something, like, needs to happen. Like, where, I don't
Your
know.
Luck was too good.
Yeah, like,
we don't deserve this.
I don't know. That's just how I was just feeling that. So I started getting this cramping. I was like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel normal. And went in and got an ultrasound. And my OB, it wasn't actually my OB. It was a random OB because in Kaiser, you kind of,
Whoever's there.
Start, because you're vaginal, you know, like waving the wand around.
Right, transvaginal ultrasound. Yeah.
And definitely goes quiet. And so I was like, okay, I feel like definitely this is going to be a miscarriage. Like, I'm not bleeding, but like she's going to tell me I miscarried. And she was like, so I need to tell you something, and I don't think you're going to hear anything after I tell you. But there are 3, possibly 4 sacs.
Oh, my.
And I was like, what? Like, babies?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, 4 babies?
Was your husband with you?
No.
You're just by yourself.
By myself.
Well, you and the 4 kids.
by myself. Yeah. We were actually had rented a house in Malibu. So I drove from Malibu. We were like doing a summer staycation in Malibu. So I drove from Malibu all the way to Pasadena by myself.
Oh, wow.
To go and get just a simple, what I thought was gonna be like a simple checkup. And yeah, so she was like, I need to take a second to look around. Again, like, you're probably not going to hear anything I'm about to say. Totally understand. And I freaked. I was like,
how could you not freak?
I definitely was crying a lot that next, like, 10, 15 minutes.
What kind of crying, though? Like, shock crying, like, or fear crying, or sad crying?
All of the above. I was like, how couldn't I take care of 3 or 4 babies? Like,
and you already have 2 babies.
My husband is going to kill me.
Right, he only wanted 2.
I already convinced him to have 1 more. Yeah, and just, like, how can I carry that many babies? Like, I'm 5'2", 120 pounds. Like, there's no way I can carry all those babies. Like, they can't fit in my belly. There's no way.
I don't think I can carry all those babies.
All of these, like, just overwhelming thoughts of, like, no, this can't be true. Like, she's totally lying. yeah, so after she looked around, she was like, there's 3. There's not 4. There's 3.
Oh, yeah, already down 1.
And she said baby A and baby C look really great and healthy, are measuring at 5 weeks, 1 day. And baby B, who's like in the middle, is measuring around 4 weeks. And she was like, it looks a little abnormal. And she kind of explained that usually there's like this white ring around the sac, and that's usually indicates that it's healthy. And there was no white ring around that sac. Mm. But she also said that I guess embryo, right? Embryo at the time,
yeah.
Because was it a fetus? Yeah, embryo could have implanted a week later.
Ah. Like, so it could be just younger than the older 2 siblings.
And only time would tell.
Right.
Was basically what she said.
Wow.
And she was like, I'll see you in a week.
What did you do? How did you even leave there? When did you call your husband? Did you call
shocked.
Him or did you drive home?
I called my husband on the way home, and he was just like, what?
You're driving on Bluetooth and talking about?
Yes, about how I have.
We're going to have 3 more kids.
Triplets. Mm-hmm.
And how did he react? I'm in shock.
He was like, no, this is like, no way. Like, what do you mean? I mean, yeah, he was shocked.
You were all in shock.
We were shocked, yeah, shocked.
Wow, okay.
So scared.
Please make me wake up. Please
yes,
make me wake
up. Yes, like, this is a dream.
Did right. you tell anyone else, or did you keep it just the 2 of you? Did you
I did tell others. Yeah, I have these 3 really great mom friends. Our oldest, they all met in this really great Mommy and Me class when they were 5 or 6 months old, and I feel like they're my people. And I, like, called them that afternoon and told them, and they were all shocked and like, oh my God, what is happening?
Yeah. It's shocking news.
And I told my mom, obviously.
You sounded like even just surprised that you were pregnant at all.
I thought I was
going
to
miscarry. On your pregnancy test. And you thought the news, like, after I tell you this, you're not going to hear anything. You thought she was going to say, there's no baby in there.
Yeah, and then there's 3.
And then there were 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next visit?
So, yeah, everything was fine until week 9. So I went in every single week. So it was triplets, high-risk pregnancy. I was still seeing my normal OB. I didn't go to the high-risk doctor as of yet because they wait until after the first trimester.
Okay.
Because things could happen, like miscarriages. So week 9 went in, and again, random OB that I was seeing. And she was like, I don't think I see a heartbeat for baby B. And she was like, but I need to get a second opinion. So second opinion came in, and they were kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if I can see it. There might be one. There might not be. So they had a third person come in.
Well, at this point, are you attached to them, or are you still hoping, like, no, no?
It was a very mixed feelings, like lots of emotions going on. I definitely was like, I cannot take care of 3 babies. But I also, I mean, it was a miscarriage. Like, there was no attachment. I felt like I was going to miscarry from the beginning. So I felt like I kind of had already grieved that baby a baby. I felt like I was going to miscarry. And I think that made things easier. Mm. I really wasn't sad, and I wasn't happy. It was kind of just, okay, so there's twins.
Right.
Let's get, now there's twins.
It's a nice parting gift, you know.
Yeah, so it kind of was like, let's move forward. Okay, we have twins now. We
Practical,
have baby A
again.
And baby C.
Yeah. So baby B turned out to not thrive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did they have to do anything or just dissolve?
No, yeah. So I was like, what happens? And they were like, well, we can't take it out and you're probably not going to bleed or anything. Like, it'll probably absorb. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what does that even mean?
Yeah,
and they were like, it just will kind of like disintegrate into your blood and into the sacs and or into the other sacs maybe, and it'll just absorb.
Right.
Or it could stay, they said. And we actually did see the sac until about week 20.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Halfway through.
And then the baby's got too big and you just couldn't find it anymore.
So you saw the sac, but it wasn't growing.
It was not growing, yeah. And you could just see like little particles like kind of floating around. So the fetus at that point, because it was a fetus, we did hear the heartbeat for about 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And
each baby had their own placenta?
Had own placenta and own sacs.
Mm-hmm. All three.
All three, yeah.
Is that so, when you sometimes like a twin comes out and has like a piece of the other twin somewhere?
I think so.
Like a little bone in their head.
My
or
big
something
fat
like,
Greek wedding,
yeah.
Right?
Right. Oh yeah.
I ate my twin.
Yeah. So, I think that is what happened. Yeah.
But you don't see any. Anyway, well, let's move forward. So at 20 weeks now, you're down to healthy twins.
Healthy twins, yeah, that were growing.
How did it feel just being pregnant with twins versus being pregnant with one?
It was definitely just a lot more. I was more uncomfortable. I gained more weight. My back hurt more.
You went to the chiropractor more.
I went to the chiropractor.
I love twins.
I went and saw you all the time. My feet were so swollen.
Oh, they did swell a lot.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't wear any of my shoes. I had to wear my husband's sandals.
Oh, that's sweet.
Basically, all of his clothes. Like, my pregnancy clothes from the other two did not fit at all.
I remember you wearing his clothes. If you do, because otherwise,
like t-shirts.
He had some nice dresses.
Yeah, muumuus.
Yeah.
I was huge. It was just everything felt more.
But you still look like, I mean, just you, just a little bigger.
Yeah.
Like pregnant you, which is the you I'm used to.
Yeah.
And just a little bigger, you know what I mean? Like you still.
Yeah, I mean.
It didn't seem to slow you down that much.
All four babies, I gained 30 pounds. Exactly.
All four.
I gained 60 pounds.
All three pregnancies.
All three pregnancies.
Yeah, all four. Of, like each baby gained 30 pounds.
Oh, I see what you're
baby,
saying.
Each baby,
gained
added 30 pounds.
In the
so, yeah,
the
third pregnancy, I gained 60 pounds, which was double what I gained with the others.
Okay. So did you start to formulate a birth plan for twins?
Yes. Yeah. So with twins, in most, like 99% of the hospitals, you cannot deliver vaginally unless baby A, which is the baby closest to your cervix, is head down.
Right.
Some doctors will deliver vaginal if baby A is head down and B is breached. They will pull baby A head out, and then they will pull the feet out of baby B. But only certain doctors will do it.
Right.
So that's an option.
Because the door's already open. So
the
with,
door's open,
with breaches,
yeah.
We're worried about the extra risks that you sometimes have with breaches are that the baby will come out, the whole baby will come out, but the head won't be able to get through, or that the cord will come out first. So
mm-hmm.
There's ways to prevent the cord from, you know, to mitigate, make sure that the cord's not going to come out first. But in terms of the baby getting stuck, if you have two babies and baby A is bigger or the same size as baby B and the door's already open, then
mm-hmm.
the baby B is not going to get stuck.
Yeah.
So
but
many
some
doctors
won't do it.
Some have no training on breech at all. So it's so scary to them because we stopped teaching it in 2001. It's so scary to them.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't. They're not comfortable. I wouldn't want them to do it because they don't have the knowledge, the skill, and the comfort with it. But at Kaiser, they have some of each.
Yes.
Some doctors who are comfortable and some aren't. You just never know who's going to be there.
Exactly.
So it's sort of like if you have the baby Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, you can have a vaginal birth, but Tuesday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Exactly. Yeah, you kind
C-section, of C-section, and also
get.
They have great turkey roll on Wednesday.
It's true.
Yeah. We are going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind, using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and use your code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. So, but what, I mean, that's what they told you, that you can do twin vaginal birth as long as at least baby A is head down.
Yes. And the doctor that is on call is familiar with breech, if right. baby B was breech.
Well, otherwise both of them have to be head down.
Head down, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I was like, okay, cool. Let's get these babies head down. My babies did not want to go head down.
They did not.
Who
was breech first, baby A?
Baby A is always breech.
Right.
From the moment they, like, start checking, which I don't even know when that is, like, 26 weeks or something.
Somewhere
around there, they...
Because you were on ST. You were high risk.
High risk. So I was going every 2 weeks. But, yeah, she was always breech, which was like, oh, seriously? Come on, baby A.
Yeah, we did things to try to... Shift
we
that,
did,
but not a...
Yeah, and I did everything to the moon and back to try and get that baby.
What other things besides what we did?
My husband's going to laugh. I literally, every single night, put a bag of peas on the top of my belly.
Oh, frozen.
And some warm rice, you know, those like warm rice things?
Oh, a warm pack.
Yeah, put it on the bottom of my belly, and I'd go to sleep like that. I did Moxa, which is... If anyone knows in, like, the Eastern medicine world, if you do acupuncture, it's like this – it basically looks like a cigar, and you light it, and it has herbs, and you put it on your left and right pinky toe.
Right. You're warming up acupuncture points instead of needling them.
Yes. Yeah. So I would sit in my bed and put it on my pinky toes, which my husband was not a huge fan of.
Nothing weird. Yeah.
He was always complaining that it smelled like cheap pot in our house.
Yeah, it does kind of smell like marijuana and sage got together and had a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was doing, excuse me, I was doing all the like spinningbabies.com things. I don't know. It's like this website. Yeah, so I was like.
Those must have been hard with twins.
Cat, all
those
these
positions.
Like, yes. I did
leaning
not,
off the couch.
The inversions and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't do those very often because they were so uncomfortable, but I tried very hard to do them.
You really did everything.
I was doing everything. I saw Susan Minnick, which is like supposedly the best in turning babies. She has her own acupuncture.
She's a midwife at Kaiser.
And she is also a midwife at Kaiser, which ended up being amazing knowing her because she knew this one doctor who was able to deliver breech.
So as you got closer and closer and the babies weren't turning, with baby A not head down, almost nobody... At Kaiser, at least, will deliver you vaginally.
Yeah.
Even though your first two babies just sort of popped out.
Yeah. No one. And my like, no one was going to be able to do that as of what I knew.
And your insurance, it only covers Kaiser.
Only covers Kaiser, yeah.
So you can't, there are other doctors in town who would do it, but you couldn't really go to them or you have to pay for that doctor
yeah,
and hospital out of pocket.
There's two, I think, at Cedars.
Yeah, there's two at Cedars-Sinai and then there's one at St. Francis. And, you know, since you already had multiple smooth vaginal births, there's a handful of others who would do it as well. But slim pickings, and at Kaiser, just one guy.
Yeah, so I found out that there was one guy, and that was from actually Susan Minnick, who told me about Dr. Monroe. And I had never heard of him and was like, who is this guy? Like, I need to become friends with him. So I ended up, because in Kaiser, how it works is you cannot just randomly email a doctor. You can't just be like, hey, Dr. Monroe, can I come see you? You have to be referred to a doctor. Mm. And my high-risk doctor would not refer me to him because that's just not how it goes.
It's outside of policy.
Yeah, so I researched him and found this old random UCLA email address on Google.
No way.
Yeah.
Super sleuth.
Inspector Gadget.
And emailed him thinking there's no way this was, like, he had to have gone to UCLA, like, years ago. There's no way he still uses this, like, education website, like, no, our email address. There's no way. And he emailed me back the next day, which I was incredibly surprised about and super grateful. And he was like, I'm so sorry about how this has to go.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Drooling? Uh-oh.
He was like, I'm happy to work with you. I know your high-risk doctor. I'll talk to him, and I will definitely deliver your baby's breech.
Oh, wow. That must have been refreshing.
Super refreshing,
Deliver them breech, but he can't be on call for you.
Yeah, so he basically was like, I only work in the hospital 2 days in the month of March, and The first date was too early. So it was around 34 weeks. And he was like, we cannot induce you that early. You have to be at least 37 weeks for me to induce you.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, my second.
You don't even always make it to 37 weeks.
I know.
Twins.
Yeah. So he's like, my second date is at 37 weeks, one day, according to your due date. And if you're still pregnant, I will be happy to induce you and we'll deliver your baby's breech.
Wow.
So
that's a lot of pressure. You have to make it that far.
I have to make it that far.
So are you doing the opposite of what everybody else does? Usually at the end of pregnancy, they're walking a lot, eating spicy food, having sex. Are you like, honey, don't even look at me.
Yeah,
don't talk to me. Don't say you love me.
Yeah, definitely. None of that.
No salad.
Don't do the salad.
No walking. I'm just going to sit here with my legs crossed.
I was definitely trying to. I mean, and I wanted them to be in there as long as possible.
And it wasn't
obviously
that long ago. We're talking about 12 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But it was like, I remember myself waking up every day wondering, oh, my God, I hope she's not having contractions, you know?
Yeah. So I made it.
Because if you didn't make it to the next time he came in, it was basically an automatic cesarean. Unless they were coming so quickly, which in your case might have happened.
That could have happened. That was, like, my goal.
to have a baby sort of hanging butt out of you.
Exactly. Like,
as
it would
you
be too
in.
Fast, and they would be like, well, there's nothing else we can do besides just deliver these babies.
Just catch them, yeah.
Well, did you do anything mentally to try to keep the babies in?
I was like, I had this like daily, like, it was March 28th. So like March 28th, you got to stay in there on March 28th.
Yeah.
Like it was just kind of like, you guys just got to stay in there.
Talking to them.
Yeah.
And visualizing that date.
Yeah. It was like March 28th is the day.
So you made it to March 28th.
I made it to, yeah. And
were you excited in the morning? Like,
I was super excited. So I actually went on March 27th. They had me check in at midnight.
At a wedding.
Yeah, you were at a wedding.
That night. And again, I was sort of texting you. I'm like, okay, I'm here if you need me.
Yeah.
It was so interesting. Okay, yeah. So March, and then what time was his shift?
So he came on call at 5 p.m., and he was only on call for 12 hours. Typically, they're on call for 24.
No
but
pressure.
He was leaving to go out of town the next day, so he had only a 12-hour shift. So I had literally 12 hours to deliver these babies.
Wow.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. And they had me check in the night before, and I was like, guys, like, I got really fast deliveries. Like, I don't think I need
don't
to check
me.
In.
Yeah, don't
like,
touch me.
I want to check in at, like, noon and, like, break
even
my
then, I would have been worried about it. Noon to 5?
Yeah.
For you?
Yeah, so they had me check in the night before, and luckily the OBs on call that night they knew Dr. Monroe, they knew about my plan, and they were totally on board with it, and they were like, we're not going to touch you. Why don't you and your husband just go to sleep? I'll come in around 5 in the morning, and we'll put in the Foley balloon,
mm-hmm.
which will, because at that point I was 1 centimeter. I was not dilated.
But we know you. You go from 1 to 10 and like,
I was a little nervous, but
your 1 is everyone else's like 8.5.
Right. Yeah. I know. yeah, so they put the Foley balloon in at 5 a.m. And we kind of just hung out. We watched movies. No contractions throughout the day.
Luckily.
And yeah. And the nurse came in around 1 p.m. and kind of, like, you pull it taut. Like, I don't know. Do you guys know what that the Floyd mm-hmm. balloon is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a balloon in your cervix, and it slowly dilates you, and then you have this, like, tube coming out, and it's straps to your leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has water in it.
And then they pull it tight, taut every, like, couple hours to try
to give
and
you a little more
mm-hmm.
dilation.
Wait, yeah.
So they were pulling, and all of a sudden it was like, pop.
Oh, but your water broke?
No, so the Floyd balloon
for
cervix was more dilated.
It just came out. Yeah,
out.
So when it comes out.
You weren't holding it in anymore.
Yeah, so it comes out, and they say it's supposedly you're 4 centimeters at that time. Like, the balloon mm-hmm. is 4 centimeters big, and that's how big your cervix is. So the midwife came in and checked me, and I was 4 centimeters.
Open, yeah.
And at that point, it
was. What time was that?
1 p.m.
Oh,
so
gosh.
Like 4 hours until he was on call.
It's so hair raising.
He was actually across the street during research, and he was texting the OB on call. Call, and at that point, he was like, if something happens, I can run over.
Oh, wow.
So once I heard that, I was like, all right, we got this.
Like, come on, babies.
I'm going to have these babies breach. It's going to be amazing. I just felt like super confident. Like,
no fear?
I was really excited. I was like, we're going to do this. So nothing happened from 1 to 5, like no contractions really. Nothing.
Oh, you behaved.
Yeah, and he came in, and I had never met him before, and he was like everything.
That was your first time meeting him in person?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he was awesome. He was so, it was everything that I needed. He was like light and refreshing and funny and was like.
That's second year of med school is comedy.
Really?
Oh.
yeah, and he was like. He was so confident, and he was just like, we're going to do this. Like, let's get the party started. Like, what do you want to do next? Like, how do you want to
What do you mean, what do you want to do next?
Well, like, Pitocin, whatever. So I was
let's
like.
Let's have cake.
Here's the menu.
Yeah. And I was like, let's break my water. I know that things happen quickly after I break my water. But well, the first birth, it didn't happen that way, but the second, it did.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's just do that, and then we got to get these babies out after in 24 hours, but we didn't do it in the 12. So let's just, yeah. So he's like, okay, let's do it. So
he broke your water.
He had his midwife come in and.
Was it Susan or a different midwife?
She wasn't on call. She was in Vancouver. And yeah, so it was one of the maid residents that was there. So she broke my water. And she actually was the one who mainly delivered the babies.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So.
Was it her first time doing breaches?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that was really
Do you get
cool.
extra people in the room when it's because I know at Cedars,
oh, yeah.
if the mom's open to it, last time I did a breach there,
everybody
we had like
cousin.
20 plus people.
Yeah. Oh, no, there were 30 plus.
Oh,
in my.
My.
Room. And that tiny, maybe 7x7.
Were you aware of it all?
Cold room. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. So people asked me.
And you're okay with
to
it?
To come. And I said, sure. Like, more the merrier. This should be like a teaching experience.
Did you film it?
I filmed it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which is really cool if I can send it to
I
you guys.
Say, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I want
to
see it.
Yeah. Yeah, so they broke my water, and an hour and a half later, they basically came.
Were you medicated and
yes.
for pain?
So
epidural?
I had an epidural, and that was required.
You finally got your epidural.
I got my epidural. That was required by the doctor.
For the twins.
Because
they were breech.
They were breech, and he, just in case I had to go to C-section, didn't want me to have to go under.
Yeah.
And he told me what he had to do to get the boy, baby B, out. He basically told me, and he had this hand motion of, I have to stick my entire arm
up to the elbow.
Up to your basically shoulder.
Oh, wow.
And break his water and find his feet,
yeah.
both of his feet, and pull him out.
That sounds like a moment sponsored by the epidural.
Yeah, I was like, whatever you say. And he's like, I need you to stay calm, and it's going to be really painful, and it'll be way better if you have the epidural during that one maneuver.
And were the people watching, were they, like, excited?
Yeah, it was definitely
a lot of excitement in the
room.
There
was so much excitement.
Yeah.
Nurses, like, were asking to come in and watch more residents and OBs.
That's what it was. I remember coaching this mom because she was unmedicated. In her case, there was no time, actually. It was one breach, not two. But she went from 5 to 10 very quickly. So I was talking to her, coaching her. She blinded a bat without her glasses, so she couldn't even see that people were coming into the room. I was a little stunned. I turned around at 1 minute to see the doctor. This is Dr. Brockett Cedars. And there were so many people. I was like, where did you all come from? It was Sunday morning at 2:30 in the morning. And I'm looking at their clothing. I'm like, you can sort of tell who's who. Like, you're a resident. You're an attending. You're like a pediatric nurse. I think there were two Helpful Honda guys in there. Yeah, like, everybody was in the room, just in case. And it was just amazing. And then sort of when the baby came out, there was applause. It was like, oh, my God, he did it. Because they'd never seen it before.
It's really special.
Well, it's a moment in time that they might not ever see again either.
It's really special.
Well, let's hope that's not true. Right.
Yeah, let's hope.
Amen.
So, Breach. Was there a lot of time in between?
4 minutes.
Oh, quick. He did the maneuver really fast.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember, like, looking at him and thinking, oh, no, is this not going to happen? Because, like, I didn't see panic in his eyes, but he was very focused, doing whatever he needed to do to break that water and grab.
But he was comfortable the whole time.
He was totally comfortable, but in my mind I was like, oh, gosh, like, this looks really tricky. Whatever he's doing, my body was, like, shaking because he was, like, trying to grab. Yeah.
Wow. How was recovery from that?
So the easiest out of all three pregnancies. Yeah, I didn't tear. I didn't tear with any of them. But this, I think, is just maybe because it was the third.
And they're smaller. How big were they?
The baby girl, Samara, she was 5 pounds, 7 ounces. And Silas, baby B, was 4 pounds, 3 ounces.
Wow.
So he was little.
Small.
Yeah. So he went straight to the NICU.
How are they now at 12 weeks?
They're good. They're chunky and rolly.
You have four kids under the age of four.
I know. Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it is busy. And you're like,
metal, please.
I know, seriously. We have
do
this.
Do the slow clap right now.
We should do a slow clap to my husband at home, putting four kids to bed.
Right now? Does he have little cans of sparkling wine as well? Or is it just you?
Just me.
All right. Fascinating stories, all of them. Thank you so much. I can't even wait to see what happens with your next pregnancy.
Shop's closed.
Too bad, because I'm sure it would be a good story. I want to thank everyone, first of all, Tuso. Tell me where we can find you online. I forgot to ask.
Oh, I'm at laborwlove.com.
Laborwlove.com.
Company name is Labor with Love.
Oh, Labor with Love.
Benji. Oh, I love that.
So, because, I mean, people can hire you for lots of different things, but for birth when they're having babies, but also you now train doulas.
I now train doulas, absolutely, through Dona.
So if you want to be my doula sister, you can train with the doula.
Email me, call me. I'm online. You'll find me there.
Text, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat.
All of it.
Dig, Delicious, Instagram. Reddit, StumbleUpon, Instagram, Flipagram. I don't know what any of those are, especially Snapchat. The little ghost scares me.
Those are scary when they swap the faces, especially when it's like the dad and the baby. That is some freaky.
I aged out at at Snapchat.
Yeah, my 14-year-old does it.
And Nicole, you have so many different things that you offer. Reiki, yoga. I want to try Reiki.
Okay.
Never done it.
Let's do a trade. My back's a little funky
anyways.
Okay, cool.
And she'll throw in a V-stem.
I don't know. I'm not that adventurous, though.
Nice, Tuso. Good callback.
I do different types of herbal medicine. And then your yoni?
Yoni throne.
Throne.
Yes, the vaginal steam stool.
Dot me.
Yes. YoniThrone.me.
Is all your other stuff at that website,
too?
No, you have another website.
For birth doula stuff, I'm lovebloombirth.com.
Oh, that's why that was taken. Yeah. Lovebloombirth.com.
Yeah, yeah. It's mine.
Thank you so much for joining us. And Marisa, thank you for coming and sharing your stories with us
and
with other people. I think they're really inspiring. And if you want to find out more and get some behind-the-scenes details and maybe even photos, visit informedpregnancy.com. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.